First Chronicles, just so you know, the account of David's mighty men, that's our subject today, is in Chronicles and in 2 Samuel, but we're in 1 Chronicles. Now, these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave David strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. These constitute the list of the mighty men whom David had. Now I'm going to switch over to the account in 2 Samuel. We don't want to leave either account out. So we're now going to shift to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joshua, Bashabeth, because of the 800 slain by him at one time. And in verse 9, after him was Eleazar, son of Dodah. He rose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Now verse 11, and after Eleazar was Shammah, the son of Agee. The Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Somehow just reading those accounts makes me smile. God's people are always thinking about their stomach and the plot of lentils. Anyway, verse 14. And David was then in the stronghold while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And you remember that's where David's city. And David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men, the ones we just read about, broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of the Bethlehem, which is by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. As you read the stories of the Old Testament, I think of what someone said to me a Saturday, that the universe is made up of stories, not atoms. And boy, if that's true of any place, it's the Bible. There's a universe in the Scripture. Now, in these last few weeks, we have been considering the fact that our God is a God of war. The world has risen up in hostility against God. Humanity refuses their Creator, who created them. We despise goodness. We despise how God has created the universe. We lie, we steal, we cheat and kill. Violence is in all our actions, and lies are in all our speech. The enemy himself, Satan, is an implacable foe. He renews his strength each morning to set himself against God's rule. Even as I read that line just then, that's not even true. He doesn't even stop during the night. Nevertheless, each morning as we meet him, he has renewed his strength to fight against God's rule. He will do this, the enemy of our souls, until the great day of the Lord, when Satan and his followers are thrown into the lake of fire. And it's only through the grace of God and the cross of Christ that saves men from such a wretched end. In the meantime, the redeemed, God's people, are at war in a fierce battle. And it's a battle, believe me, to the death. Yet even now, the peace of God abides in our hearts as we struggle against the enemies of our captain and our king, who is the very lover of our souls. So each of us, one by one, as we come into God's kingdom, become David's mighty men who give him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. If you've stepped into the kingdom, you're already in a battle. And if you stepped into the kingdom, there's something about you that will want to give David strong support. Now, God's mighty men have certain characteristics about them. God's mighty men are careful about King David's greater son's very least desires. They are careful about the small things. It is our giving to Jesus his least desire that we should be our greatest pleasure in serving him. Ah, yes. That famous cup of water. Whoever gives a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, this is Mark 9. Truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, if this is true, a water given to the followers of Jesus, how much more so water given from the well of Bethlehem to the king himself? You think that you can do nothing for your king? It may very well be the little thing, the thing that is in our reach, which is just over the hill in Bethlehem. That may be the thing for which our heavenly David longs. And think of it, you can get it for him. It's just over the hill. You can get our king something for which he longs for. It's just over the hill. These three men. And I don't know who thought of it first. Maybe they thought of it together. Let's go get some water. What is Jesus' slightest pleasure? How are we to know? Well, I tell you, it's through being close to him, being his familiar friend, that you will learn the things that pleases him. It comes from spending time with him and with his followers. From his followers, you will learn about him. They have been close to him. They have fought battles with him. They have seen him sigh in grief. They will know his joys. Hang around the Son of David's people in the hopes of learning something about our King. Knowing Jesus' slightest pleasure will mean to read God's Word. It will mean prayer. And of course, the doing of these things will not come from a sense of duty. No, the person who does such things will do them out of love. The people of God can hardly be silent about their king. Be around them and you'll learn about the king. Now, to accomplish such feats, as we read here about David's mighty men, will be met with resistance. Now, that is an understatement. I'm going to make an understatement again. To accomplish such feats will be met with resistance. Our foe is implacable. He stands in our path and says, "You cannot pass." Water from the well of Bethlehem can only be had through great trouble and in spite of great resistance. The world, our fleshly nature, and the fiery darts of the evil one are sure to come if we are determined to serve our King. Yet these three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. So I can say, fight, resist, victory is sure. What's the scripture say? Resist the devil and he will flee. There is victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 reads, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Jesus' mighty men must be willing to fight for Jesus' slightest pleasure. And this will mean the expenditure of strength. Now, strength in the Christian world comes via weakness. Isn't that right? Isn't that good? Scripture says, "Be strong in the Lord." It is not who we are that matters. We are a motley crew. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David, and he became their captain. Are you one of those kind of people? Count me in. It is from such that God makes His warriors. Jesus' mighty men give Him their time. In the here and now, that's when we must make our stand for the least of the King's desires. Here and now. How long shall you live? Really? Now, the older you get, the more you think about it. The younger you are, the less you think about it. I'm kind of young at heart. I still have a hard time thinking about dying. I feel pretty alive right now. But we are dying, and it's between our birth and our death that we have, that's the time when we can do things for our King. In the light of eternity, it shall be in those brief years that you will be able to serve Him in faith. Will King David's greater son marvel at your faith as you serve Him to advance His kingdom? We serve Him in faith. It is the faith that pleases Him. In heaven, in the glory, it will be sight. We only have the opportunity to walk by faith right here, right now. God's mighty men endure hardship. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to endure hardship as one of Christ's soldiers. Suffer hardship with me, says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier in active service entangles him in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Would you make Jesus happy? Don't entangle yourself in the affairs of everyday life. And we sang a while ago, I really liked it. Good picks of songs this evening. Have done with lesser things. That's a good line, wasn't it? Did y'all sing that? Anybody sing that? 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And listen to this. This is good. And not only me, but also all who love his appearing. Count me in. Ultimately, the king's mighty men must be willing to give their lives, to spend and be spent for their king. Now, currently in America, our lives are not at risk when we serve him. The days may come when they will be. But now, we may not be called to die for him, but we can live for him. We can pour out our lives for him as water, never to be recovered. There is no sacrifice made for him that will not be rewarded by him a thousandfold. That's a glory, isn't it? I wish I could get that in my heart. It's easy to say. There is no sacrifice made for him that will not be rewarded a thousandfold. The obtaining of our king's least desire will be, by definition, make you one of David's mighty men. It's in our reach. Every one of you. It's in your reach. And it is via the things in our lives that can please him. The little things. It's the little things. Oh, for a drink from the water from that well. Moment by moment as we interact in our world, even the slightest things can be to him as the water of Bethlehem. Be faithful in the little things. Again, these things are in our reach. Think of it. You can be one of Jesus' mighty men. Now, no military medal can even touch the honor of serving Jesus. In serving him, there is great reward. Now lastly, it's one of the amazing parts of the book of Samuel and Chronicles that they both have accounts and a listing of David's mighty men. The roster has a flavor of an ancient document drawn up during the very days of David. Each and every one of us has an opportunity before us. Will we serve David, this man of war, in his conflict with evil? Will we serve him in the advancement of God's kingdom? Do you look around and see men's souls and think to yourself, maybe just one of those souls I could conquer for Jesus? Maybe there's some fellow in your acquaintance that's a Philistine. Do you know any Philistines? Jesus can transform them, conquer them, bring them into God's kingdom. If you read the list of David's mighty men, you will discover that some of them came from Philistine cities. In there I see Chetharites, aren't what those guys? Those were David's personal guard. And that was a Philistine city. I think they're listed in this list. I can't remember. Yet these men, out of love for David, had joined themselves to him. But let me close with this. Maybe in your own heart there's ground to be taken. Did I say maybe? Will you be ruthless with yourself and bring those parts under the great and loving rule of Christ? I mean, pull out some swords and do that stuff in. You know, and it may take so much struggle that our very sword, we can't let go of it. Now, as one of the servants of Christ, is it not what pleases the King that matters? If you don't please Jesus, it doesn't matter who you please. Even in the tiniest little things. So I am definitely early. That's a good thing. So we're going to do part two of David's mighty men next week. Let's pray. Father, answer our prayer, Lord. Make us better. We ask it in Jesus' name. Make us more devoted to your Son. May the Holy Spirit bind our hearts to Him. There's many things that were so beautiful about David. And I know it's 1,000 times more with your Son. Bind our hearts. To your Son. We pray a little ground might be taken in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.